The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Mick Norton in the studio to look ahead to the best of the action on Friday. Decent day's action to look forward to. We're going to look at three contests at Lingfield. Also just have a brief chat about the headlines today in racing. How's things, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Alex.
Good stuff. A happy new year to you. If I haven't seen you already, I can't remember if I have.
No,
or not,
I don't think you have. I was in the other day, but it was Mark who was producing.
So a happy new year to you.
Yeah, same to you.
And to any listeners that haven't heard from myself or
apparently
Mick.
It's all right to say happy new year until about the middle of January if you haven't seen them.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
That's a rule of thumb.
I'll keep going then.
Keep going.
Yeah. As I said, we'll touch on some stories in the Racing Post today. We'll start with the inside cover. Features Oisin Murphy, who, of course, really burst onto the scene over here in sort of late summer. And is now doing pretty much the same thing in Australia, isn't he?
Well, I mean, it's been a meteoric rise because he didn't even have a ride in public until May last year. And to make the progress he's made, it's quite phenomenal. I can't think of an apprentice in recent times, or in even longer than that, who's made such a meteoric start to his career. And the very fact that he's now in Australia, wowing them over there, and that's not an easy thing to do, those cynical Aussies. And he's now ridden 7 winners from 38 rides, which isn't too shabby a strike rate, is it? And he'll be getting valuable experience. I think he's an absolute shoo-in for the Champion Apprentices title next this coming flat season.
Yeah, definitely. But it's just impressive in the way that he rides, isn't it? I mean, there's some apprentices that you watch and you go, he's got a really good riding style.
He's obviously been watching Buick, hasn't he?
He's
sort of very much in the Buick mould, and he's just a natural, a total natural.
So he's certainly going places. Another horse that may be going places is Triolo Dallaine. Of course, won the Hennessy at Newbury and has been given a Gold Cup entry by Nicky Henderson. Yeah. What do you make of that news?
Yeah, he's now rated 158. He started his chasing career off a mark of 127. And, he doesn't go into it with quite the credentials of last year's winner, Bobsworth, who, of course, won the Hennessy before going on to Gold Cup glory. But he's going the right way. And I mean, he's also that rare beast. He looked a natural round entry as well, didn't he? Trio Dallaine. So, you know, their options are pretty open. And he's certainly worth his place in the Gold Cup, let's say that.
Okay. Betting for the Gold Cup, we've got 2-1 favourite Bobsworth, 7-2 Silviniaco Conti, 8 Q Card, 10s First Lieutenant, 16s Alpha Off, 25s Boston Bob, and then a whole host of horses on 33s, including Dinast, Long Run, Rocky Creek, Tidal Bay, and of course the aforementioned Triolo Dallaine. Of those, Mick, if you were pushed now, I mean, Bobsworth seems pretty hard to get away from following his win over in Ireland, but at the same time, Silviniaco Conti did got the job done very, very well.
I think he's going to want it like a bog, though, isn't he? And if conditions came in his favour, he'd be a massive danger to them all. You just feel he might just get outspeeded if the ground is good, good to softish. But again, he's well worth his place in the lineup, and he's adds another element to the race. Cue card. I mean, he'll give it his best shot, but.
Wait, if he goes there as well. I was talking to Craig about this yesterday, Craig Forsyth.
Right.
He was saying that there's. I think Cue card is 8-1 for the Gold Cup, 3-1 for the Ryanair, but 5-2 to win any race at the festival.
Well, that might not be a bad bet, because he's also got the option of the champion chase if.
Yeah, very true.
If that suddenly became a wide open contest, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, all options open for him. And but it's fascinating and great to see some new kids on the block to give the champ a challenge.
Absolutely. Okay, then we'll move on to three contests at Lingfield on Friday. We'll kick things off with the 12:30. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs, 10 runners down to go to post. Where should we start here, Mick?
Yeah, I think we'll start with the random success filly by Shamadal, trained by Roger Charlton. George Baker taking the ride. She's made the frame on all of her 4 starts on turf and polytrack, and she's worn the hood on the last 3 occasions. And my slight and that for that some reason it's off today. And I just can't get my head around that one. But my worry is the draw. But she does look the one to beat on that narrow defeat over 6 furlongs here last time off of this mark by Perfect Venture, and shouldn't be a problem dropping back to 5 furlongs. Going to be hard to beat, but has got the right man on board in George Baker to overcome that potentially tricky draw against some informed rivals, the best of which may well be the top weight, Pharaoh Jake, who comes here on the back of a win on New Year's Eve over course and distance. Is it pretty consistent performer at this level, Pharaoh Jake, trained by John Bridger, and he's won 2 of his last 6, and he's got course and distance winning form, as we said, and a good move by John Bridger to take off the penalty with the claim of Ryan Weil, Bill Turner's grandson, and I think he's going to be on the premises, Pharaoh Jake, with his liking for the track. He's in form. What you see is what you get with him. And he can usually be relied upon to run his race. And another one to consider is Roy's Legacy, who's got course and distance winning form as well. Adam Kirby's been booked to ride by Sean Harris. His last success, admittedly, was 12 months ago, but it did come off 71 under Kirby, and he can now race off 58. And another telling stat is that he's never been out of the frame under Adam Kirby, so could be one for, you know, pro market punters, place only, whatever. But he's a definite contender. But if Baker can overcome that potentially tricky draw on random success, I do think that she's the one to beat, having only a 5th career start and with form here on the track.
Would it not bother you that the hood is off? I know you mentioned that. Bit of a strange one, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. Because, you know, she ran well on turf on debut, and then she had the hood on her 3 polytrack runs, and all of a sudden it's off. I'm a bit.
I mean, we talk about the benefits of having a hood on a lot, you know, and it calms the
horse down. Well, it's not detrimental. One thing it isn't is detrimental.
That's the thing.
I mean, blinkers or a visor can have an adverse effect on a horse, because sometimes they're a bit put off by it, they don't face up to it, whatever. But a hood, for me, there are no negative side effects. I just can't understand having experimented with the hood and reasonably successfully, unless the jockey said she doesn't need this governor or whatever, but anyway, whatever, they've decided for one reason or another that she's not running with the hood on Friday, so we either like it or lump it.
Could it be that she's maybe a little too laid back with the hood on, and obviously over 5 furlongs you could maybe use a more explosive horse perhaps, but
perhaps, especially when... Well, no, they wouldn't have seen the draw, would they, when they declared?
No, the declarations,
so it's not as if it's draw-related and the, Yeah, good.
Anyway,
good point. But I'm sure Joe Baker will have got it worked out what he's going to do from that draw. But a good point by you, Alex. That it's hard to come up with a valid reason why they wouldn't persevere with the Hood.
Okay, but that would be the pick, wouldn't it?
The pick. I do think Pharaoh Jake is the likely one to capitalise if the draw does prove too much for him.
Okay, then. Next up is the 130 Division 1 of a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. 10 runners down to go to post for this Class 6 contest. We'll start with Disco Dave here. Mick, who won last time out. Where was that? That was at Wolverhampton, over a mile and 1 furlong.
Yeah, I mean, he started his handicap in life in Ireland when trained by Willie McCreary off a mark of 65. And didn't manage to win in Ireland, but I just think the mark was probably high enough. But he's now with, is it David Loughnan?
It is indeed.
Yes, and he's run well on both starts, finishing first and second both times to El Al, and second and then winning from El Al. Have I got my? Am I reading my notes right here, Alex?
Yeah, that's right. Second to El Al on the 20th of December.
Yeah,
and then on the 1st of January, won at Wolverhampton, beating El Al by half a length.
That's right. I thought.
Reverse the form with El Al.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think a good move as well by Loughnan to book Louis Stewart to take 7 off and basically eliminate the penalty. And he looks a boy who's well worth. He's £7 claim to me.
Michael Bells, isn't he?
He is.
Very good.
I was very impressed on him on that farcical flag start at at Southwell the other day. Where he had his wits about him, and he made sure he wasn't going to get left behind when the starter let them go. They were all over the place that day.
That was
it. But Stewart was...
ludicrous contest,
was very switched on, it was. And, I think Disco Dave's going to be the one they've got to beat here.
Okay. Main dangers?
Taines not from 12, which would be a slight concern, but plenty of solid efforts in defeat suggests that he will put that right soon. The mark's creeping up for his consistency, but it's worth remembering he did start handicapping life in the mid-70s, and it does appear to be improving of late, and he's got the excellent Shelley Burkett on board again, taking off the 5, and if one of the other either Disco Dave or the other one I'm going to mention underperform, Attain may well be able to get his head in front.
Okay.
He's not doing anything wrong. That knock from 12 doesn't suggest that there's anything wrong with his attitude. He just keeps running into one, and of course the handicapper clobbers him for his consistency, so that's not helping either. But there is a race in him off around these marks. So he's a solid danger to Disco Dave. And at Dark Horse, we like to look for the odd Dark Horse. Could be Knight's Watch, who can race off a career low here, and the money came for him last time. I mean, he didn't go anywhere near to justifying it, but it was very interesting. The money did come, and if you go back to a run when he was 4th of 10 behind Paddy Saltonte at Kempton Park, now the second stepping ahead is now rated in the 90s, and he can run in this off 54. I mean, we're going back in a while, and it's stretching a point to say it's irrelevant, but it was interesting that the money came for him last time, and if it did come again off this career low mark, he might be an interesting contender. Not enough in the form book to tempt me in, but I just thought I would point it out, Alex.
Okay, then.
But I do think it looks between Disco Dave and Attain, and I just give Disco Dave the vote.
Okay, Disco Dave, the pick there in the 130, as we touched on, ridden by Louis Stewart, and Shelley Burkett on the main danger Attain, someone who we were talking about off-air, Mick.
Yes.
She's having a very good season, and another one with a very, very impressive riding style.
Yeah, getting very polished is Shelley. If you ever see her on board, one you fancy, and don't be put off by that in any shape or form.
Certainly not. Okay, the final race that we'll look at is the 2 o'clock from Lingfield. It's Division 2 of the same handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. Similar kind of level to the first one, really,
yeah,
Mick.
It is.
We've got Grandad Mack in there running with a penalty, and with Adam Kirby on board, has to have a chance.
Yes, I mean, he did. It was at Southwell, though. And I like to see horses go back to the Southwell to carry the Southwell penalty. I don't like them to take the Southwell penalty elsewhere. That's just a personal thing, but at least he comes here in form. And but he only just won. You just wonder if he's going to be as good on the back on the poly track as he was the other day on the fibre sand.
Interested to see him, Mick. Sorry to interrupt. Grandad Mac rated 52 for that Southwell win.
Yeah.
Runs off 45 here.
51 with a penalty.
But down a pound for winning,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's not out of it.
No. Interesting.
In that sense, he could be vulnerable under the penalty, but he's hardly got any penalty because his mark had dropped in the interim, hadn't it?
Yeah. So it's just trying to find, is it worth switching?
It's just because it was different surfaces that worried me that he would be able to reproduce it on a totally different surface.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
The one I like is Kindlelight Storm, who came from an impossible position last time to finish a close third in a course and distance contest. Same mark, 54. And George Baker takes over on Kindlelight Storm for the first time. And he made a winning handicap debut at Kempton in October over 7. Hadn't really built on that solidly, but I had a look back at that race, Alex, and, he must have been second last turning in, and got within a couple of lengths of the winner. It was a tremendous effort, and a reproduction of that would see him go very close. Others to consider in a tricky race are Salient, who was back to form last time. I mean, he's a regular here over the years. He's 10 years old now. But at least he's back to a winning mark. Won off 80 in his peak and has to be feared at this level off of this mark. And did manage to win a couple of course and distance handicaps in the spring when the handicapper let him go. This might just be a bit tougher than he likes these days, but at least he comes here back to his favourite track on the back of a good run. And should be there or thereabouts. And David Lochnane is also represented here. He's got Stanlow in the race. Still lightly raced Stanlow and ran his best race to date last time when a two-length second of 10 behind Daniel Thomas at Wolverhampton over 9 furlongs. And a reproduction of that or a slight improvement definitely will put him in the mix. So there's three to consider for you. I'm going to give the vote to Kindlelight Storm, but it wouldn't be at all surprising to me if Stanlow and Salient were in the mix with him. And they're the three I like in that 2 o'clock.
OK, then. So Kindlelight Storm, the pick there in the 2 o'clock. Just to sum up there, Mick, in the 12:30, you're going with Random Success?
Yes, I'm a little bit concerned about the draw, but George Baker, the right man to work that one out. If she doesn't overcome that, Pharaoh Jake, I think good move by John Bridger to take off the penalty with Ryan Wile. And it's a similar story in the second race we've looked at, the 1:30, with Disco Dave having the penalty. Louis Stewart has been booked by David Lochnane to take off the penalty for that win last time. And I think that could be a good move. Attain, probably the biggest danger to that one. And Kindlelight Storm looks to have Salient and the old boy Salient, the course specialist, and Stanlow to worry about in the 2 o'clock.
Okay, thank you very much, Mick. Best luck with those picks.
Thanks,
enjoy the racing,
Alex.
And we'll speak soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.